B-Pod Studios.
Hello?
It's time now for the Gargano and Martinez Midday Show with Evan Gargano and Jason Martinez. It starts now.
Good morning, everybody. Happy, 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 happy Wednesday to all across the Delaware Valley, live from Andy's Diner in Conshohocken. The Midday Show with Jason Martinez. I'm Anthony Gargano. As we get set, ooh, this is a big day, this hump day. This is a day that this is where we begin to shape our feelings and opinions on Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that face.
I just had a nice plate of eggs.
Oh, my God. What's the matter?
I just had a nice breakfast.
Jason.
Three eggs over. And a little side of scrapple, Aunt. But so I'm well nourished.
We love everything in Andy's Diner, but what's the matter? Your face.
I have what you would call as in the struggle within, to use Metallica's song's name. The struggle within.
No struggle within. It's a good
it's,
song.
It's an internal struggle that I have right now, and there's two sides, and it's good versus evil. It's
you fear the devil.
I fear you. Better fear the devil.
You fear the devil.
Yep. I do.
You fear the saints?
I have the one side where that faith is just overwhelming.
What about St. Nick?
Yeah, and that's like the comforting blanket right now. It's my whoobie. But the other side...
When I
go away from a little bit of the eagle glasses that you wear, I realize that this test this week is very exorbitant. This is a tough matchup.
And it's the divisional round of the playoffs. You're not expecting a layup.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the Eagles didn't get a layup last year in this situation that the Saints are in when the Atlanta Falcons came to town. That was a close football game. And it came down to what? One play and Julio Jones slipping in the end zone.
Yeah.
And the Eagles moved to the NFC Championship game. But the one thing that has me really worried is that Drew Brees has what Mitch Trubisky didn't have. That's a wealth of experience.
I got news for you. Trubisky didn't lose the game for him.
No, I know.
Trubisky played well.
Mm-hmm.
He threw for 300 yards.
Yeah. But Drew Brees.
I mean, the Eagles' defense came up opportune times.
Mm-hmm.
To stall some drives.
Yeah, but that offense isn't nearly as prolific as the Saint offense.
I agree. But you know, they are also, like, that other side opposite Michael Thomas, you know, has been a revolving door.
Well, the big key, and you brought this up when heading into the Bears game, was they got to stop the run.
Uh-huh.
And they did with Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen.
Kamara's outraged. They have two backs.
You got Ingram.
Yeah, exactly.
So therein lies my two nightmares. It's Drew Brees. And it's that running
attack. And the winged running backs?
Yeah. I mean, if you can't stop the run against... And we saw that the first... You know, they used the pass to set up the run. And they had their way with the Eagles on that day, I guess.
Well, listen, but here's my argument. And then I'll play St. Michael and slay the devil.
What's going on, Mike?
The idea of the Saints peaking, I guess... And Adam Schefter was on the morning show today. And Schefter talked about the idea of them being the peaking during the months of October and November, and I believe that.
I agree.
I believe the Saints were playing their best football, much like the Rams were playing their best football in October and November.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a league of January, December and January. You know, you know that the Eagles are a hot team. They're obviously hotter than the Bears. Oh, the Bears are the hottest team in football. Well, 10 out of 11. Eagles are hotter.
Yeah, well, and they have the secret sauce, and that's Nick Foles. So, look, I have this internal struggle that I'm dealing with right now. If you want to X and O it, then you come up Saints every time. You just do.
Yeah, but actually, it's not as...
Games aren't X and O, though, completely.
No, but here's my point. But the game, when you X and O it, it's not, the disparity's not 48-7 like it was.
Oh, I agree. Yep.
So, you know, if I actually know it may come up Saints because they're home, but it's a lot closer. And because it's a lot closer, that means everything's in play.
Yeah. Well, and I agree. I think the home field is a big factor. I thought it was a big factor last week for the Bears, but the Eagles overcame it because...
I mean, listen to that. Yeah. I mean,
that key drive.
It's the same, playing against that defense on the grass in cold. It was still cold, even though it wasn't, bitter. It was still cold.
Yeah, it wasn't 80.
That's as daunting a road test as the dome.
No question about it. But on one hand, I'd be a fool to say I'm not feeling it from just a story standpoint, and I can't fracture my faith in what Nick Foles has done and become with this team. So I got to look at it and say, boy, of course they have a chance because this guy defies all odds. He went into L.A. as a 13.5 point dog on Sunday night and won that game to save a season.
I can't, right now when I look at it, I don't see how this game is not close.
Yeah, I think it's a close game.
I don't see how it's not close. The defense is playing better.
You're feeling pretty good.
I do. I feel it. I feel it.
Yeah. I was noticing it starting to settle into you yesterday.
I feel it. You can see it. Look, this team can play with anybody. Listen, I'm not saying it's a lock or anything like that, but I've seen that team gets blown out in October, November. Mm-hmm. Comes back in the playoffs and wins. I've seen that storyline a bunch of times.
Yeah, and Tony Dungy talked about that in 05 with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who went on to win the Super Bowl. They kicked the crap out of them earlier that season. We talked about it with the Eagles and the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah. In the 08 season, the Eagles 48-20 beat them on Thanksgiving night, and they lost them in the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's just something that, how many times in baseball, this team was 10-1 or, 13-7. Against them or whatever, and then they come out in the series and win.
It's sports.
It is. It's a part of it. And again, because there's familiarity, there's the idea of peaking and hot, and when you're playing well. Like right now, the Eagles are playing really, really well. That's why I like them someday. I just think they're hot. They're playing well. The Foles factor, St. Nick.
It's why you can't get caught up and say, well, the Eagles were only a 9-7 team and they were a 12-4 or whatever it is.
No.
Because the football season is like four different seasons, right? You have your first phase, your first four games, and then your second two. And then the ultimate one, if you get there, is the playoff is the fifth season, and it's a totally new season. With all the stuff that happened to lead you to there, it doesn't matter because it's how you're playing at that point. It no longer matters what you did in September and October and that you got your ass kicked on November 18th. 48-7. None of that matters anymore. So, I'm fighting. I'm having an internal struggle. You hear me? I'm conflicted here.
I know. And we'll help you out today.
This isn't some, radio shticky
bit. I'm sure the callers will help. I know it's
I'm
not.
Just, yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about
it. I know it's not. Listen, I get it. I mean, listen, we all... It's all just... You can't help how you feel.
Yeah.
The way you feel. You're a sports fan. We're weird people, sports fans.
Mm-hmm.
We are, because we feel things, and even though sometimes our heads tells us something, what we feel is another.
Yeah, we're whimsical.
No, I mean, that's what it is.
But that's why it's great.
Yeah, I this whole story, like this dude, I don't know. I'm done with the. I've been done with the. I don't understand it now. Like the guy just wins. So, and like that play, Tate, which it'll now be known as, was ridiculous. Tate, that he called it.
Mm-hmm.
The Saints defense has had a good year. It's overlooked because of the Saints offense.
Yeah,
Saints defense shut down the Eagles the first time. I gotta believe that Nick Foles took a look at that tape. And he sees something else.
Yeah, on both sides.
I want Nick Foles to be, someday to be my offense coordinator, too, my play caller.
I agree. He's extremely intelligent. Real quick, too, last night, I had one of those nights. I worked out the remote last night. The thing had smoke coming out of its ears, the remote.
Yeah, we had a busy day. It was a busy night, but both winners.
Sixers. Yeah, Sixers fly.
We got what we wanted out of last night.
Win-win, right?
Win-win.
But with a win-loss, you got a win-win.
That's right.
Lose for Hughes.
I'm so into... I heard Mikey yesterday say, wow, what's just the process? Yeah. This is the process.
Yeah, they'll never call it that as outward, but yeah, you're right.
Who cares? But it's the process. You got to lose. Right now, this whole season's a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get that kid.
Yeah, you got to put yourself in the best position to do so. Zipped in on a little Duke basketball last night. How about Zion last night? 30.
Wow, look at you, college hooping it.
Well, dude, it was a good night to just kind of get around. We've been so hyper-focused on everything Eagles that I haven't really been paying attention to all the other things going on. And Zion is a show.
Nah,
I'm watching Duke blow with a blowout win over Wake Forest last night.
Yeah, no, he's a great player. No, he's
shooting three.
He's ridiculous. He's a great kid too.
Yeah,
by the way. He's a fun loving kid. The college kids are amazing. I love these kids today.
Yeah,
Trevor Lawrence, who won a national championship Monday night, Sunshine.
Yep,
that kid's ridiculous. You kidding me? Fun loving the whole thing.
You're gonna be teams tanking to get him.
Yeah,
in a couple of years.
He's the best quarterback prospect in a while.
It's funny.
My buddy Boo said, "If I was just the kid's father, I would shut him down for 2 years."
He's got a big insurance policy.
Yeah, exactly.
610-632-0975.
I can't think about anything. I'll be honest with you.
I'm the same way. I was popping around.
I can't think about. I can't concentrate. Like I watch Sixers. I can't concentrate on anything other than Sunday.
Let's go to the man right now. You'll hear him on Sunday. He calls the game with Kevin Burkhardt. He'll be calling Eagles Saints, and he joins us right now on the Comcast Business Hotline, Charles Davis. Charles, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing well. I hope you guys are the same.
Oh, fantastic.
CD. So, real quick, this storyline of Nick Foles, right? We've talked to you. Jason and I have talked to you for, all throughout the season. But this storyline, what's it come close to? And for all the years that you've been involved in this game, give me a better story.
I don't know that there is one in terms of what we're talking about now. Obviously, if we're talking about someone coming back from catastrophic injury and playing, look, there's no better story than Thomas Davis with the Carolina Panthers. 3 ACL, same leg. And playing at a productive Pro Bowl level in the NFL, that just doesn't happen. All right, he's a medical marvel. But if you're talking about the basic story of player gets his chance, doesn't work as well as he wants to, has one glorious season, goes to a Pro Bowl, ends up getting benched the next year and traded, thinking about being out of football, comes back, takes his team to a Super Bowl after an injury to a starter who was going to be the MVP of the league if he had gotten hurt, one more game? I mean, it was that deep into the season, right?
13 games, yeah.
Right? If he goes 1-2 more games, he probably still wins the MVP this Carson Wentz. But Foles comes in, and at the end of last year, you guys know better than me, and tell me if I'm wrong, the end of last year, did Philadelphia collectively think that Nick Foles was going to carry them to a Super Bowl?
No.
The answer was no, right?
No.
At the end of the regular season, there were too many question marks. Oh my God, we can't make a third down. We can't get a first down on third down. We can't do this. Yeah. And it happens. And then he comes back to start the next year because Carson Wentz isn't ready. And they don't play very well. Right? It's kind of up and down. We gotta get Carson back. He comes back and he gets this other chance and he hits it again. It is a story that's off the charts because we've had backups win Super Bowl. Jeff Hostetler did it for Phil Simms with the Giants. Doug Williams did it for Jay Schrader with Washington. Trent Dilfer did it in Baltimore when they benched, I believe it was Tony Banks. You can go right on down the line. So we've seen that before, but a chance to do it 2 years in a row, coming off the pace twice, it's about as good as it's going to get.
Yeah, it's amazing too, Charles. These storylines that go into this game are so interesting. And Anthony and I were just talking about it. And we go back to week 13 on November 18th when the Eagles lost 48-7. And Malcolm Jenkins was demonstrative in his opinion that the Saints had run it up. Jason Peters brought it up after the Chicago game this week that this time is different. We coming. That's going to play a part in this game, isn't it?
It is, because these guys have pride. They're professionals. Now, once the ball's kicked off, I don't think there'll be a whole lot of, hey, 48-7, as guys running up and down the sidelines. That's all part of the preparation. That's all part of watching that game tape to remember how you felt that day when the embarrassment kicked in. Because anyone who's ever been an athlete you've been in that spot before, right? It's rare that you can talk to an athlete and go, you ever been in a spot where you got, no, I've never been embarrassed. Yeah, right. It happens. It happens to the best of people. So they can remember all that and use it as fuel. But once that ball's kicked off, now it's back to playing ball. And that's good enough for Philadelphia because look at what they've done down the stretch. Look at them going into Chicago against, you know, one of the best defenses in the league and doing what they did with them. You know, this team has been battle tested, and I know it's a little bit of a cliche, but maybe it helps sometimes if you're actually playing playoff football while the regular season is winding down. Because for Philadelphia, those last four games were playoff football.
Yeah, it's true.
They had to win those games. And so them continuing on now, 48-7 after what they've been through, I don't know that that's as big a hurdle as it might be if they'd lost 48-7 last week and all their guys were still beat up and injured.
Yeah, you know, they had a chance to get some people times, back. Right?
Yeah, hey, listen, they had a chance to get some people back since that game, plus guys who had to play then are much better players now with the experience of having been on the field.
Sure. And we've seen this before, right, Charles? Like, we're talking to Charles Davis. He'll be calling the game on Sunday with Kevin Burkhardt. And we've seen this where a team may lose big during the regular season but comes back in the playoffs. Look, it happened to the Eagles against the Arizona Cardinals in 08.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, let's just take it to the AFC this year. The Chargers were one of the hottest teams in the league coming off of having gone to Kansas City and beat the AFC leading Chiefs on a Thursday night game in a huge win without their two starting running backs, their best two running backs. They come home, here come the Baltimore Ravens, Saturday night game, and the Ravens jumped on them.
Yeah.
I mean, the score wasn't 48-7, but if you watch that game, probably after about 5 minutes in, you never once thought that the Chargers could win that game. Baltimore controlled the whole thing. 3 weeks later, fast forward, in Baltimore now, the Chargers turned it completely around. So this happens a lot in this league, and the blowouts are rare. Blowouts usually don't mean the other team is that much better than they are. That day, things snowballed. And guess what? I mean, I remember a few years ago, you remember when the Eagles played on Thanksgiving Day and got killed? Was that, I don't know if it was in Dallas or Detroit. I mean, remember that one?
Yeah.
A couple of weeks later, I think maybe a week later, I ended up having the Eagles at Patriots game. And what happened there? Blocked some kicks, made some plays.
Chips last
Patriots
year.
Beat the Patriots on the road. Mm-hmm. That's the NFL. That's life in the NFL.
Yeah. Charles Davis from the NFL and Fox joining us on the Comcast Business Highline. You'll hear him Sunday doing the game with Kevin Burkhardt, Eagles Saints. Charles, Anthony laid out what his plan would be from a defensive standpoint to slow down this high-flying offense of Drew Brees and the Saints. How do you think the Eagles should approach this, trying to go score for score with this team? They can get you into a track meet, but that's not advantageous probably for the Eagles and what they can do offensively.
Yeah, I don't think very few coaches want to have track meets, right? I mean, you're asking a lot because that means every possession has got to be a scoring possession. And that's rarely realistic. What I like about the Eagles in their defense in recent weeks is they're back to playing that Eagles defense where they slow down the running game. Because you guys remember in the middle of the season, that was a real problem. People were running the football, gashing them. In the last four or five games, they're back to having it. Getting Jernigan back is huge. That's a big part of what he does.
Yeah,
allows Fletcher Cox to be Fletcher Cox without extra hands on him. And then Michael Bennett has steadily increased the number of snaps he's taken, and he's an underrated run defender. You know, we think about him rushing the passer. He does a really nice job with his hands playing the point of attack as well. So that's allowed now Jordan Hicks and Nigel Bradham to make more plays on the second level tackling people. That's a big part of what they're going to have to do because we think about the Saints as being high-flying, and they are, but never underestimate how they run the football. I believe they're sixth in the league running the football with Ingram and Kamara. And the last time the Saints won a Super Bowl, do you know they finished in the league running the football? Sixth. So running the ball is important, though.
It is, although the one thing I worry about from an Eagles standpoint is the youth at corner. And you saw the Bears have success double moves on Maddox.
Yeah.
And so, you know, listen, I'd much rather have give up sustained drives to the Saints with the run game than those would happen 48-7 where those strikes, because those quick strikes just kill you.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot out of you, and, you know, things turn around so fast. And you're poor, you know, you do that and your offense right back on the
right.
Field, knowing that they
and
have
that
match
pressure on you right that you got to answer.
Yeah, now you have to match right away. But exactly. I think in a game like this, Schwartzy will show a lot of different things, maybe some things we haven't seen a bunch before about Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator. He's not going to change their whole personality, but they're back playing well against the run. The upfront guys are rushing the passer well. Yeah. It will allow him to give more help, I think, on the back end with his own coverages. And maybe they're not having to be in a position where the double moves on each time you hold your breath. Plus, a kid like Avante Maddox, he's young, but he's intelligent. I think a lot of times you grow from some bad experiences. It doesn't necessarily mean the very next game. Here comes the double move. Oh, he's in trouble again. It might be the double move he might be ready for.
Charles Davis on the Comcast Business Hotline. Charles, a lot of us are relying on the magic of Foles to win this game. That, you know, the Eagles are up against a good opponent. They got home field for a reason. Can the magic be what carries the Eagles? How do you see this one playing out?
Well, I think the magic comes into play if the game continues to stay tight. And that's what they had with Chicago. You know, the game didn't get away from them where you had to change personality and all of a sudden it's total gunslinging out there. Gave them an opportunity to make plays and they did. And this type of game can be that game. You know, the Saints, remember, at one point we thought no one could slow them down. And then they went to Dallas on a Thursday night. And they haven't quite been the same high-flying team that we've seen since that night. Are they still potent? Of course. But here's the thing. Michael Thomas had 125 catches. I mean, he sucked up like 30% of their catches for the year. Kamara is going to be your next big target, and you probably have to treat him a lot like a wide receiver. The question is for the Saints, is Ted Ginn going to give you anything coming back off of IR? Traquan Smith, the rookie out of UCF, Keith Kirkwood, Tommy Lee Lewis. Who's going to help take pressure off? Because you know darn well in playoff football.
Kirkwood's a Temple kid.
Yeah, but in playoff football, what do you have to do? You got to take away what they do best, right? We always talk about with Belichick. Well, that's what all coaches want to do. So you're going to try and take away Thomas. You're going to try and take away Kamara. Who's going to step up and make those plays? Here's an opportunity for other people for the Eagles.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. It's going to be fascinating. It's going to be fascinating to see what Magic Foles can do. You know, remember the Philly in the Super Bowl that it was his call. That he gave it to Doug. Well, and
Doug Green lit it, yeah.
And same thing happened Sunday, where that play to Golden Tate, he's the one who suggested it.
And how much credit should be going to Doug Peterson for being able to not just listen to your player, but believe in them by green lighting the play and then backing them on it after it's all said and done.
Yeah.
And I think Doug Peterson's the guy that if the play doesn't work, he would have stepped forward and said, I greenlit the play because I believed in him. It just didn't work. As opposed to, I can't believe we made that call.
Yeah, we didn't execute.
That's just not how they go about business. There's a lot of confidence from both sides in how they go about doing it. And that's helping carry them. You know, that culture they built is what carried them through a really rough season. And now that season can all be, I'm not going to say wiped away. That season could be fondly remembered as, boy, one year we raced through the league. Our adversity was Carson Wentz. This year, their adversity was all throughout the year. And maybe the saving grace could be Nick Foles for a second time. Who knows? We're going to find out starting Sunday.
Hey, and last thing for me, Charles, real quick. Carson, what would you tell him? I mean,
I've talked about this for a while, and I fall back on human nature, okay? Carson Wentz is has as much character as any youngster I've been around in a long time. We've seen him exhibit it for two seasons now in terms of these types of runs, where he's right there, he's in the ear, you know, he's there for Nick when Nick needs him, suggesting things, you know, not going overboard on it. How about, you know, when Nick gets hurt against, I think it was against Houston, And Sudfeld's going to have to go in. And Carson's the one calling Jason Kelce to come off the field and give the kids some snaps so they don't have any mishandled snaps when they go out. He's locked in on his team. He's fully engaged as much as he can. But human nature tells me that in the quiet of going home, there have to be some tough moments. He's a competitor. It's supposed to be his team. The second year in a row, injury has knocked him out. And his backup is taking his team to places that he wants to take them. Would he trade anything for the? Would he trade the wins for him? You know, feeling better because Nick didn't do it. No, he wants his team to win. But you're kidding yourself if you think it doesn't bother him as a competitor. Like, are you kidding me? 2 years in a row.
I know.
Like, five teams he's got out there.
I know.
But the bottom line is the face you see that we see is a face that they have to have around that facility. And I give him a ton of credit for that. Whatever he wants to do in the privacy of his home, more power to him. However he has to get through it. And again, human nature tells me there have to be some rough moments, but he doesn't bring it with him to the facility at all. He doesn't bring it with him to his team. That's a big credit to him, big credit to Nick Foles and how they both handled this.
Hey, Charles, we appreciate you doing this. Have a great broadcast coming up on Sunday. We'll be watching.
Thanks a lot, guys. You take care of yourselves. Great chatting with you.
If there's a man to pray, I said if there is a man to pray, there is a God to answer.
I love it. Such a good, that song is great. This song is that's why I love this song.
It's got feel.
Yeah.
It's got soul.
Yeah, I love it. I've never heard it.
Yeah, you don't listen to ZZ Top. You feel. You hear ZZ Top. You hear ZZ Top, man?
I feel it.
You're not a music man. But it's time for Bring the Heat. It is the Foles Faith Line. Brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Stay warm this winter. Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer near you. All right, hit the line, 610-771-9751. Leave your messages, and Andrew will comb through it, find the best of the best, and here's what came in the last 24 hours.
Anthony, it's Nick Foles. 3 more games to go. I'm going to win them all. You know why? Because I can.
Because I can.
Because I can. Yeah.
Poor Carson.
It's not Nick Foles. When you play that music, it's Nick Cold.
Nick Cold.
Nick Cold. I could use a cold one. What's next?
Oh, man, you guys came real close to it. Y'all were talking about Nick Foles and what you should call him. Nick the Redeemer. You towed the line of that for about 5 minutes. Try it out. See how it feels. I'll see you later, guys. Thanks.
Nick the Redeemer.
The Nick the Savior is better, though, I got to tell you.
I don't know.
The Redeemer, you have to screw up yourself, and then you redeem yourself.
Well, he helps you redeem.
He saves.
Nick the Redeemer. It's a great word, Nick the Redeemer. It flows.
Well, you know the old...
You're right. The Savior trumps the Redeemer.
What was the old line about Bernie Perron? Only Jesus saves
the
more.
The Lord saves more.
Saves more than Bernie Perron. Well, Nick is the season saver. So yeah, he's the savior.
I agree. I think savior trumps. I think savior trumps them all.
Yeah.
Savior, it definitely trumps redeemer, but redeemer's a better word. Nick the Redeemer sounds better.
It does.
Than Nick the Savior.
Yeah. It's like Vlad the Impaler sounds cool.
Yeah.
Right?
Family Impaler.
Yeah. I knew you would be. Hey, a couple names real quick before we get to the next message. Tom Coughlin was a guy we loved to see lose with that cherry face. Another guy, Joseph, emailed me and said, John Tortorella. I love Torts. I don't like seeing that guy. I love that guy.
I hate Tortorella.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I love him.
No, I hate him.
He's one of those guys that doesn't bother me at all.
I hate him.
Yeah. This is for Sean Payton. Remember us, Sean? Back in that November game, when you tried to embarrass us, you thought it was real funny, running up the score, not thinking you're going to see us again this year. Guess what, buddy? We're back.
Yeah, we coming.
I like it.
We coming.
Sean, we coming, Sean.
Yeah. that Malcolm should give him the two bird salute in the pregame.
Yes.
Double bird him.
Here you go, Sean. Hey, yeah. Do the hey, yeah.
Hey, yeah.
You know the hey, yeah.
Is that a New Orleans thing?
No. That's a Philly thing. Hey, yeah.
Oh.
Hey, yeah.
This time, we coming.
That's right. Jason Peters said it. And it shall be. It's going to happen on Sunday. They'll fly down to Bourbon Street on Saturday, Ant. Little dinner. And then preparations for the 4:40 kickoff will be underway. Get out your beads.
So it's a great football weekend, man.
Four good games.
The Chargers Patriots beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Harry and I both think the Chargers win the game.
Boy, knocking the Patriots out in the divisional round. That's the sign of an end of an era. Losing in the Super Bowl and then getting knocked out in the first round. Boy, that won't go well in New England for that squad. Remember last year, there was a lot of smoke around Brady and Belichick not being copacetic. They get knocked out.
I'd be good for them to die.
Yeah, I'm ready to move on from that.
It'd be good for that whole dynasty just to die.
Yeah. What's so next?
Right. Hey, guy, do you think with this miracle win against the Bears in Soldier Field, do you think the fog has finally lifted over the Fog Bowl? Do you think the sports gods have finally rewarded us for our patience and we don't have to suffer the memory of the Fog Bowl anymore?
That's a great question, though. Does this game
erase it?
Erase the Fog Bowl?
No.
No?
Nope. Nope. You can't erase history, Anthony. No matter how hard you try, you can't. You don't want to.
Okay, but let me ask
Fog
you
Bowl
this.
Is part of the charm.
If it's a Super Bowl run and you win the Super Bowl, does it erase? Because I would say yes.
It erases the heartache of the Fog Bowl?
Yes.
No, because you lived through that.
Nah, but guess what? Revenge.
No, I get it. If you played the Bears in the championship game, I may be able to buy in a little bit. It takes the sting away. No, it's not big enough. I mean, look, it's the Bears.
Look, you lost to the Saints twice in recent history.
No, I know. But the thing is no, all those scars, we're like that scene in Jaws where Quint is lifting up his shirt. This was a 14-foot Mako, and they're comparing all their scars. That's the Philadelphia sports fan. You know, this is the NFC Championship loss to Carolina. This is the Super Bowl loss down in the Superdome to the Raiders. These are scars that you carry forever as a badge. You don't want to just erase them just because you want to look more aesthetically pleasing. You know, we got scars like we got a big one down our face. You know?
Your scar face.
Yes. Say goodnight to the bad guy. What's next?
Oh, man, I cannot believe that we beat the Chicago Bears with that field goal right at the end. I can't believe it. I can't even speak properly. I just cannot believe that Tony Parkey thought he could hit a 53-yard field goal and then misses from the 40-yard yard line. That is just silliness.
So our man, that's Sam.
Sam, the man from England.
He said, I can't speak properly. Yes, he can.
Two more names for you that have come in. Jim Fossil.
That's
says
a good one.
Matt, when he was with the Giants. He would get the red face a little bit, too.
I agree. That's actually a good one.
And how about this one?
Who?
Your old buddies, John Chaney's buddy.
Cal?
John Calipari.
Oh, he's eight to face. Yeah.
Big time, isn't
he's
he?
He's a big time eight to face.
There's a lot of the guys in college sports.
He's eight. Oh, tons of college.
Yeah. Like Roy Williams, does he hate the face?
Yes, I hate Roy Williams.
Yeah,
I do, I hate him.
Yes.
I hate Bill Self, too.
Yes. Another good. What about Gene Cady, who used to be the coach of Purdue?
I like Gene Cady.
He was not a handsome man.
And Bobby Kremins.
Bobby Kremins. What's next?
So I'm eavesdropping on New Orleans radio yesterday, and I hear these two guys, they kind of sound like Cuz and Andrew talking like rednecks.
What?
And they didn't even bring the game up. All they wanted to talk about was Nick Saban, you know. Yeah, he kind of deserved to lose, but yeah, we really like to have him back, LSU. I don't think they even know they have a game going on.
Well, that was a big deal down in Louisiana. This was a talking point.
Yeah, but they're big time fans, though, those people. They love the Saints.
Yeah. But we got to go back to the beginning of that call. Play the very beginning again, Andrew. Is that possible? Did you delete it? Okay. I just want to hear the beginning of the call again, because
he said that Andrew and I...
You sound like rednecks. Well, that couldn't be more inaccurate.
No, I think he was saying that...
I'm eavesdropping on New Orleans radio yesterday, and I hear these two guys, they kind of sound like Cuz and Andrew talking like rednecks.
Oh, so they're saying they're... Two people just, but they're talking like redneck. Either they're saying that you sound like a redneck. I'm going, what?
No, if Andrew and I would speak like rednecks.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, that kind of hit me the wrong way.
He sounded like he had a southern little twang to him.
Yeah, he probably was. He said definitely from the south, a southerner.
That caller, yeah. He sounded like he had a little bit of a southern lilt.
You like the southern twang?
I do. Yeah, I do. I like football. I like it.
But does it sound... See, a lot of people interpret the southern twang as being less than IQ.
I like the
IQ.
Southern football.
Does it give you a feeling of a lessened IQ?
No,
No. But it does lend credibility to a football conversation.
It does. Yeah, no, it doesn't. I don't believe in that, because otherwise Boston would be the most erudite accent.
What's next?
Wow. Landry Shamet was on fire. He hit 8 three-pointers. And then Embiid said, let me check your temperature, son, because you are on fire. Go Sixers.
He shot the lights out last night. 29 for the lad.
Yeah, I mean, nice. I mean,
he's not the answer to your problems.
No, it was good. It was good. The Wizards don't play defense, but
all right. All right, two more names came in. Mike from Del Ran said John Gruden.
I like Gruden, but
yeah,
I
can see why for some people. I don't agree. And Mike also asked about Barry Switzer, who we did mention.
I'm missing somebody. I'm trying to. Who the heck? I'm missing an arrogant. One of these arrogant guys who want, you know, when I like on these roles that you're just a gym teacher.
Uh huh.
Who am I missing? I'm missing
a current guy.
I don't know.
He's definitely got some recency.
I'm missing an NFL.
One of the ones that
sticks
out.
I'm missing an NFL coach who's just supremely arrogant.
You know, like Joe Gibbs wasn't a guy you hated.
Nah,
that
Joe
you loved
Gibbs,
to see lose. He was a gentleman.
Like your grandfather.
Yeah, exactly. What about Mooch? Steve Mariucci?
I'm ambivalent towards Mooch.
Okay. Anybody in Denver?
I don't think he's a good coach. What's that?
Any former Denver Bronco coaches, maybe? Or I'm trying to think of the good teams. Holmgren? You were a Holmgren fan.
I liked Holmgren. I loved Holmgren.
Yeah.
Hungry was nasty.
How about Minnesota Vikings?
Nah, I don't like Zimmer.
Denny Green?
I like Denny Green.
Yeah.
He had a nice wave, like a nice...
Ended up in Arizona.
He had a nice face.
Nice. Inviting?
No, he had like a nice face, like a nice man.
Yeah.
Denny Green. Right?
Okay, what about... Who was the idiot in Atlanta? Jerry Glanville. Not Doug Glanville.
Damn it. I was going to go Doug Glanville.
You were going to go Doug Glanville?
Not Brandy Glanville.
Who's that?
I don't know. Some Real Housewife or something. Wow. Yeah, my wife watches that. Wow. What about Jerry Glanville? Did you like him?
Ambivalent.
All right. What's next?
After losing to Honey Jones, everyone was worried about the punting situation. Our punter right now is amazing, dude. He's booming it all the time. He never shanks one. What a great find, Howie. Okay.
Are you serious? The okay guy calls up about Cameron Johnston?
His only positive call all year is about Cameron Johnston.
What's wrong with the okay guy? He must be boozing.
That's cool. That's a great call.
Rex Ryan, is that your guy?
Nah. No, I hate the Rob Ryan.
The long hair?
Yeah.
He was annoying. How about, people are trying to get yours now, Bum Phillips or Tom Flores?
Well, that's back in the day. I can't hate Bum. Bum was cool, man.
What about Tommy Flores?
Southern, like he was Bum. Uh-huh. Bum Phillips was Houston Oilers.
Yeah.
I don't like Tom Flores now.
No. He was coach of the Raiders, Nady.
Correct.
Yeah. We should have some disdain for him.
Yeah, we should hate him.
Yeah. What's next?
This could be the best case scenario as far as quarterback goes for the Eagles. You have Foles playing well, potentially take us to another Super Bowl. Wentz is hurt. You can't demand the same kind of money because of how much he's been hurt. So you get a franchise quarterback on a better contract, and you get Foles playing well now. Next year, you got Carson, on a better contract than you would have had if he would have balled out this year. I love it, man.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to play out like that, but
it's going to be interesting how it plays out. Franchise tag, Foles, and then they don't match. You get two first-round picks.
Right. But he can also buy himself out of that.
Not the franchise tag.
No, but if he picks up the option, he can buy himself out.
It'll be interesting to see how
you're talking franchise tag costs you
$25 million.
Yeah.
But then you trade him, and that team has control then. All right, a couple more names. Jim Harbaugh, when he's with the 49ers.
No, I like I love the Harbaugh family.
Do you? Okay. Somebody brought up Kota. How about Rick Pitino?
I actually liked him more than, he's a crumb. But I actually liked him more than
the white suit?
Yes.
How about Bobby Petrino?
Oh, he was horrible. He was horrible.
We brought up Dan Reeves. Yeah, Anthony likes Dan Reeves. I'm not a Dan Reeves guy. Although he was like an Argyle wearer. He liked the Argyle.
He's a gentleman. Dan was a nice man. He came from the Landry. He was Landry's assistant.
Oh, okay. What's next?
Anthony, this is God. Thou sayest the 11th commandment, thou shalt maketh some noise. Come on.
Let's make some noise. Come on.
Nice to hear you again, God. God checked in last Super Bowl run.
That's right. You had the exorcism going last year.
Yeah, remember that? We had everything. And God checked,
goat heads.
God checked in, and it was great to talk to him. And thank God he's back.
There you go.
Thank him he's back.
Yes. That is the Bring the Heat line, the Foles Faith line. Great job by everybody today. On the line,
tremendous.
All brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Stay warm this winter. Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer near you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.